From Santa Fe this week, I'm Joey Peters, and it's the Weekly Word. Matthew Reichbach is once again on assignment, so it'll be just me this week. I hope that Reichbach's assignment is enough to get him on the rail runner, but all jokes aside, I'll be speaking with Santa Fe Mayor David Koss today about his decision to not run for a third term next year, and I'll also be talking with Santa Fe City Councilor Patty Boucher about her likely run for mayor to replace David Koss. So stick around and we'll be back. Joey Peters with the Santa Fe Reporter. You can catch my work at sfreporter.com, and you can catch co-host Matt Reichbach's work at nmtelegram.com. This week, Santa Fe Mayor David Koss announced that he will not be seeking a third term for mayor of Santa Fe. He made the announcement on former SFR editor Julia Goldberg's radio show on Thursday. And so I sat down and discussed what his accomplishments were as mayor and where he's moving on from now. He's most known for being one of the most liberal mayors in the country, and some of his proudest achievements are helping establish one of the highest minimum wages in the nation, as well as helping save the College of Santa Fe, which is now Santa Fe University of Art and Design. So I sat down with Mayor Koss, and here's what resulted. And I apologize for the audio quality in advance.
Yeah, so on the radio show when you announced this, you had talked about spending time with your family.
Yeah.
As a big reason. Can you tell me more about that, or just more about like the toll that this job takes on a person after 8 years?
Well, no, this job's very busy, yeah. At least the way I do it. You heard Julia, maybe I just have a time management problem. Maybe so. But I've actually been in elective office on the City of Santa Fe governing body for, it'll be 12 years at the end of this term. And I take it seriously. I love doing it, have loved doing it. But there are other things that I've always intended to do that I think are important to do, too. And so I'm choosing to let somebody else have a go at being mayor, whoever the community selects. And I'm going to spend more time with my wife and my parents and my granddaughter and do some of the travel that, you know, I couldn't do while I was in school, and I couldn't do while I was raising a family, and I certainly can't do as mayor, but I've always kind of wanted to.
Sure. Looking back, what would you say some of your bigger accomplishments are in the 8 years as mayor?
You know, I think it's been a great city to work in. I'm very proud of the living wage. I'm very proud of the living river. I'm very proud of our immigrant policies of dealing with immigrant families, and I'm very proud of the recent vote and position on marriage equality. So, you know, I think to me personally, those have been very important. I think our city government has become more efficient, more accountable, and that we've achieved close to $500 million worth of significant infrastructure projects that makes everybody's quality of life here better and more sustainable. So I'm very pleased with that. Some things that may be inside baseball for some people, but the fact that we're going to conclude 20 years of land use discussions over annexation, I really have been working on that since I was a city councilor day one, and here 12 years later, we're on the verge of finishing that. So, you know, things like that.
What would you say, you know, Santa Fe, it's known as being a weak mayor system where the city manager has a lot of, I guess, say or control over policy, and and the city council itself too. What was that experience like for you?
I think that's a difficult part of the job. I think most people in Santa Fe don't know what you know about it's shorthand, weak mayor, strong mayor.
Sure.
I'll always remember having a few quiet moments with Governor King when we were, or Governor Richardson, when we were on a trip together. He goes, "That council's giving you a hard time. Why don't you just veto a few of their bills?" No veto authority. But the one thing I would point out, for as far as if you want to see the executive side function, and you want to keep, you just want to have that role. Since I've been on the scene since the 90s when I went to work with Debbie Jaramillo, we've only had 3 mayors, but we've had 10 city managers.
Right.
And there'll always be churning in that kind of a position. But I think 10 shows, we might be more stable, we might make more progress if we had a stronger executive function. Mm-hmm.
The recent one, Robert Romero, he's been there for...
He sets a record with 4 years.
Wow. So yeah. You're proud of that?
I'm very proud of Robert. He's been an outstanding city manager.
Looking back at it, because I know you've been involved in politics for a long, long time. Do you remember what it was that first brought you into politics? That first made you say, "I want to be an elected official someday"?
Yeah, it was watching my father work for the legislature. And saying, he works really, really hard. He's got great ideas. He's really smart and committed. Somebody else gets to vote at the end. Mm-hmm. And so I was going, "I want to be where I get to vote at the end." I've had the privilege during my career of working with Bruce King and Tony Anaya, with Max Call, mm-hmm. With Peter Wirth and Lucky Varela. They've all been influential. I've had rallies that I helped organize with Cesar Chavez and Jesse Jackson. Very, very memorable for me. And so,
is it fair to say that, because I know you were a union organizer and you were president of a local at one point, is that organized labor, is that your biggest influence or one of them at least?
It's absolutely my greatest love is organized labor. Absolutely. I'll still be a body for the labor movement. I think myself personally, I'm going to spend time with my wife and my family and my friends.
But you also mentioned you're not ruling out a future in politics.
No, because, I'll I don't know whether at my age to say I'll only be 60, but I'll be 60. But that's not too old to serve. And, I don't have a current plan, but I never say never. And I've always been interested in being in the state legislature.
And now you've experienced a lot of campaigns where you've both won and lost now. And the most recent one was...
I've won 3 and I've lost 2, so...
Okay.
Good to leave while you're ahead.
With the most recent one for state legislature, looking back at that, is there anything you do differently or anything you learned from that campaign?
I've learned that when you're unknown to more than half the constituency, 2 months isn't enough time to really get out there and get them known. I've learned that, Santa Fe, I'm well known in Santa Fe. Mm-hmm. In one Espanola precinct, I only got 8 votes in the whole precinct.
Wow.
So, there's a lot there was a lot I learned about, a rural constituency, a non-Santa Fe constituency is a whole different set of voters than the Santa Fe constituency. Mm-hmm. One thing that I've always needed to do better at is a relationship with the city councilors, especially it's just important for them to shoulder the burden on the agenda and to understand what you're trying to do and for you to understand what they're trying to do. That's important.
So after Kallas' announcement that he won't be seeking a third term, one of the first names that immediately came up as replacing him, or at least running to replace him, is longtime city councilor Patty Boucher. In this interview that's about to follow, we talk with Patty about her likely run for mayor. She hasn't announced it yet. And just about some of the similarities and differences she sees with the Kallas administration. I want to note one thing. She mentions CWA. That's the community workforce agreement that the city council passed last year and then repealed this year. It's basically a plan that would have made most contracts that the city makes through union work. And Patty originally raised concerns because most of the union work is out in Albuquerque. But as she mentions here, eventually voted for it when they made some changes to make it more local, in her words. So here's what follows with Councillor Boucher.
There's been rumors going along for a long time that you're considering running for mayor. So where does that stand right now?
You know, I haven't even really considered it until David and I began having, Mayor Kallas and I began having discussions that he, you know, may be coming to the end of his time of commitment to that office. And so really I'm just going to start the conversations with the current mayor as to, you know, what he's planning on doing for his last year and where we think we can take things. Because he and I, you know, we may not always agree on the how to get there thing, but we agree often on what we want to do and what social issues are important for Santa Fe. I think we both are considered progressives on that front. And so I think it would be important to try and have some continuity in terms of a progressive agenda for Santa Fe.
And so what is it about the seat that attracts you to it?
Well, you know, I've always, you know, two terms ago, before Mayor Kallas even ran, we sat down and I said, look, I still work, you know, full time, and you are retiring, you know, you should really pursue this. And you know, it depends on how you view the job. If you view it as a ceremonial job only, then it's not as interesting to me. I'm much more interested in continuing to promote policy and a progressive agenda. And I would be interested in how City Hall operates and trying to shift a few things. And that really, to me, is the most appealing part of the job. I ran back in 2000, and I think at the time I wasn't as certain as that I would really want the job. I think I wanted to raise some issues, mostly water, and here we are full circle again,
right.
You know. And so, yeah, that would be one of my main issues, to see us, you know, really achieve a sustainable policy around water.
What did you learn from running that time and not winning that, you know, you'll take into account if you do decide to run this time?
I think the circumstances were very different. I was much newer, and you know, this has traditionally been it's not a strong mayor position, unlike Albuquerque, and I know their charter commission's looking at that and changing that. But and it's undefined in the code. If you look it up, it says the mayor is the CEO of the city, and it doesn't really tell you what or delineate the powers. And so I think I have an ability to work with all the factions I have over the years to achieve what I want to achieve on the issues I care about. And so I think what's important to maintain at the mayor level is that tone of, you know, what you want to see, where you want to go. And what I don't want to see, and I think it applies to my job as a counselor. I don't want my last years on the council to be just sort of placeholding or not really getting things done. And so, you know, I mean, I have asked at various times with this new council, well, what do you want to see get done? And they've not been very far-reaching goals, you know. Get a new scoreboard at Fort Marcy was not my idea of what the job should be about. So I really want to... why I would even consider it and what I would do differently. You know, at the time, I got in last. I raised the least amount of money. I came in second, you know, and there were three. And there was a popular incumbent and two other Hispanic males in the race. And, you know, I was considered a much, you know, I wasn't a front runner. And, you know, and I honestly, I don't know that I really knew what the job entailed or what I would, why I would want that job then. But I did want to raise the issues, and we did, and we got a lot of people thinking. And I think this time, you know, if I were to get in it, I would be in it to win it, and I would be in it to, like I mentioned, you know, really continue forward a progressive agenda.
Well, yeah, and I want to go with that because you said you share this progressive agenda with the mayor, but I know you clashed with him at some points. What are some of the things, some of the changes you'd want to see, or some of the things you'd do differently?
Well, let's go back to the clash just for a sec so you understand it.
Yeah.
It's, again, maybe about a process. You know, the mayor came in at one point, and I may be more of a fiscal conservative than he was, but that's my years of serving on the council and being on finance committee and such and the reality of things. But when he brought forward, you know, a property tax increase, you know, essentially, you know, at the lead of the union staff at the time, the leadership saying, you know, we want to raise in times that were very tough and people were barely holding on to their homes, I thought that was crazy, you know, because I was hearing from the librarian that retired and was living on her Social Security and barely holding on to her home. And so that's a difference there. I don't think, you know, we're at odds in that way, but I didn't think that was appropriate at that time. Now, I will look at different things like property tax increases if that's where we have to go because of things that have happened at the state legislature. I'm sorry, what was the actual question? I think I diverted a little bit.
Oh, some of the changes you would want to see.
Well, you know, again, I'm back to some big picture ideas, and honestly, we have punted as policymakers over the years on how to really make that connection between water and land use. And, you know, I mean, cities are later in the game. We're not native water users. We have, you know, we came in late to the game, and we bring a lot of needs, and we're always growing, and we're always needing more. And we're, you know, either siphoning it off from agricultural uses or the river, you know, which was one of the original uses. And so we never did make that connection. I tried some time ago to have a community, a whole community water, you know, sort of program where you pushed your priorities to the front, you know, as a community. You made a decision how you wanted to spend your water resources. I think we still have to finish that. You know, as you've watched me in this last even 6 months, I mean, I just worked on genetically modified organisms. We're moving on to a high-capacity ammunition for assault weapons. That's the next issue, and those are the things that the mayor and I are actually working on together now. We just finished, of course, Freedom to Marry. I mean, there will always be social issues I care about, and I do really believe that, you know, the thing that's going to take up the bulk of our time as a council will be around our economic development proposals and our water use, and I think those things will fill up many council sessions for many years to come. So specifics, I mean, those are overarching kinds of goals that I would be working on. And
what about specifically in economic development? Would you like to see?
Well, you know, the problem is, I mean, that's where the mayor and I came together again around full circle when we got back into the CWA. You know, when he first proposed it, it didn't really create local jobs. I saw most of the jobs going to Albuquerque, and so after a lot of negotiations and tinkering, I mean, that's the kind of thing where government can actually help create jobs. I mean, I thought we had the real possibility of bolstering our local economy, and I think there are ways we can use our limited resources in economic development. The other, of course, is supporting our workforce development and even education, you know, making sure that we're really growing our workforce and that it's flexible. I mean, you see the community college, they've been keeping up pretty well, and the Higher Learning Center will help that too. But they've been able to churn out some folks that can work on solar energy or other green initiatives. I mean, you know, we've had these questions posed before from the reporter about, well, give me specifics. I mean, a lot of it has to do with, you know, the city, of course, does not control our schools, but we can support and aid and work with the new superintendent, for instance, on and the new school board on trying to really target and focus in our programs. And if there are kids that, you know, want to go to school for something that's much less esoteric, you know, but if we have those provided either through our community college or our trade schools, if we have programs set up here in the high school levels, we can really try to, you know, the whole aim is to see a population that can self-sustain, doesn't have to go moving down to Rio Rancho, of course, and so, you know, we'll work on housing, we'll always work on housing. I don't know, much progress we've made. I know we get awards. It's been one of the most disheartening things for me is that we get awards and I still have half my workforce, you know, in the city of Santa Fe that lives outside of here.
That's the police force and...
Is police, it fire, a fair amount of workers. I mean, they live out of the city limits. I can't, you know, you can't say, okay, but a lot of them live out of the county limits.
Yeah. You have also brought up transparency issues with the city government before. I guess my question would be, where does transparency stand right now? And is it something you see as a problem and something you would work on?
It's funny. It's one of those things. We raise those issues and we get a little better for a minute. You know, we don't go behind closed doors to make all our decisions, which really bothers me. But the other thing is, you know, I thought our website could... You know, we should have a lot more things on our website. And we then won some award for transparency. And I thought, I still don't even know how to navigate our website most of the time, never mind the general public. So I think we could do better. And I would certainly strive toward that. And we did get a custodian for for information requests.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's made it any easier for any of the media. But and we have a new PIO. And, you know, I mean, I think we want to. I just think it's change in attitude some, too. And so I really wanted people... I mean, for me, it goes back to the core of things. I mean, even how we decided in committees, without a lot of public input, we're going to spend bond money on public projects. I mean, it's almost like it's a fait accompli when it comes out. And you know, the public has had very little input, and we're spending millions of dollars of their money. You know, so those are the kinds of things I would ask. And you know, if I were able to be mayor, I'd be appointing people who would... try to follow my lead in terms of how we operate in terms of public input and transparency.
I guess, one of the biggest examples I can think of was the RICO stuff last year and how that was decided mostly in executive session. Is there anything, though, I mean, can the mayor, because from what I understand, it's the city council that would vote to bring stuff like that in executive session.
You notice I was the only one, really, that stood apart from everyone on that, and it really bothered me. I mean, I learned... And you can make a difference. It's the city attorney you appoint can be very, very much more cautious about how we deal with things behind closed doors. I mean, I still have a debate with the current city attorney. I said, you know, on that whole sewer thing where the city signed on and sent out a letter, I said, I got a letter that says, you know, we've violated all these things, and don't you consider this threatened litigation? He said, oh, no, that's not threatened litigation. I said, RICO sent us something, and it didn't threaten litigation. Well, you know, they said they'd ask for a lot of money if we didn't do this. And so, I mean, I think a lot of it, you know, it's a fine line. You can get an opinion from an attorney, you know, that old Harry Truman, I want a one-armed attorney so they don't say on the one hand and on the other hand. You know, it's important that we, more than set a tone, I mean, that we really strive to receive as much public input as possible. I can tell you from my time, almost, you know, 19 years now on the council, that we used to have a lot more public, not just the same people, come down and participate. The whole rail yard process was a very open process and public and involved. And what bothered me is that's what we were coming down to now, because not only did putting part of government in, you know, in the rail yard not go along with our master plan, you know, we did all this behind closed doors and nobody understood the cost. I mean, I found out later that almost immediately after we had gone behind closed doors and made that decision that, you know, the county where the county chambers are was possibility that they wanted the city to buy it. That would have been a much more appropriate use and a much better location. You know, it might have even been a better economic deal. But, you know, I think the concern, for whatever reasons and whose ever connections, but some of it may have been, you know, we just wanted to try to salvage what was going on at the rail yard economically. It was in trouble.
Right.
And, you know, it may turn around. You know, I hope it turns around. That movie theater's coming in.
What would we see new city manager, new city attorney?
Yeah, I think honestly, I think you're going to see a new city manager before David's term is up. That's my sense of things, which I really like the current city manager. He's very responsive, at least to me and my requests, and he's very, very energetic and proactive, and I really like that about him. He'd be big shoes to fill. He's got a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm. And what's the, I mean, he's been there for 4 years now, five?
He's been one of the longer serving ones.
Yeah, so what, I guess, how can you guarantee, because that used to be a big problem going...
The revolving door of city managers?
Yeah.
Again, picking right And, you know, working on a council would be very important. And you're going to see a couple of seats up, I think, on the council. Well, you know, you're bound to. Some may be even open seats. And, you know, and then there is the possibility if I were to run and to win, I could appoint someone to my seat. So I think you'll see some changes. And I think that allows for new possibilities. That would be exciting to me.
Do you know when you'll have an idea?
You know, honestly, you know, the mayor and I sat down to breakfast a couple months back over the marriage equality issue and had to buy him breakfast at Counterculture because he didn't have he didn't have cash. So I said, okay, you owe me a breakfast in a month, mayor, to let me know what you're doing, because, you know, I would have been happy to see him run again and work on issues I cared about with him. But so a couple months went by, and he called last night and said, okay, yeah, you want to have that breakfast? This was before his radio program. And
yeah.
I said, I can't do breakfast, but anyhow, so we're going to meet real soon. And just try and I'll gather it up, and I've got to sit down and talk to my partner. I have to be honest, that's a hard one. Elections take their toll on relationships and family,
sure.
And so that's part of my consideration. So, and I do know that I go back, you know, what I will say is if I am going to decide soon, I will let the press know, but I probably won't be announcing anything until midsummer sometime.
Thanks to Mayor Koss and Patty Boucher. Again, sorry about the audio quality. I'm Joey Peters with the Santa Fe Reporter. We'll be back next week with the Weekly Word. You know that I like having you around.